Now, in a twist to our usual kitchen science experiment, we're going to do something that certainly needs a kitchen, and it'll probably be done in most dining rooms across the country over Christmas. We're going to carve up a roast bird. But we have with us in the studio Dr. John Brackenbury from Cambridge University Vet School, and he's going to help to explain to us exactly what we see when we're looking at and carving up our roast birds, and point out a few interesting things we might find inside our Christmas turkey. Well, hello, John. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
So we have with us, as well as John, a chicken, because it's a bit smaller and a bit cheaper than a turkey. And I don't know if anyone's going to want to go away and eat this after we've after we've dissected it. So what are we looking at? What have we got in front of us right now, John?
Okay, well, we have on this plate a chicken, which has already been cooked. And instead of using a knife and fork, I'm going to be scientific. And I'm going to use some instruments. I've got a scalpel, I've got some scissors and forceps, and we're going to weigh in here. So I think I'll begin by kind of naming of parts, just to give the listeners an idea how this is laid out. So its rear end is facing towards me at the moment. It's on its back. That means then the first thing that we encounter right down here, right in front of my nose, as it were, is the parson's nose.
Now, that's its bottom, isn't it?
That it is, yes.
That's fine. And we eat that, do we?
It's something of a delicacy, I guess. Ah. But it's important to the chicken because to any bird, actually, they carry their tail feathers on there.
So that's the beginning of it, where its tail is.
That's right.
Basically.
That's the tail. And as you can imagine, a peacock's very proud of its parson's nose.
Yeah. All this.
Right, so that's right at the very end. Now, here we are, right in front of us. Now, at the front, we have the two wings. These are relatively scrawny. So I guess most people kind of ignore them. Then at the back, we have the drumsticks. In this case, they're crossed. And in fact, this chicken looks remarkably meditative. But anyway, I'm going to...
in the lotus position.
I'm going to uncross those legs to reveal the bit in the middle that most people are interested in, which is the breast muscle.
And so, that's huge, isn't it? I mean, compared to this, obviously, we've got the drumsticks, the legs, but there's an awful lot of breast meat there.
It's colossal. And, of course, that's why we eat chickens and other game birds. It's because of the breast muscle. Now, what I've done is, with my scalpel, I've made a cut right down the midline, because that will reveal interesting things. And with my fingers, I can then separate from the midline the outer breast muscle, because, in fact, there are two. The really big one on the outside is the obvious one, but in fact there is a smaller breast muscle deeper down there.
And do we eat that smaller one as well?
We eat them both. Yep. But from the point of view of the bird, these are very interesting muscles. They're actually equivalent to our pectoral muscles.
Oh, right, the pectorals, right.
Birds fly, and in fact the ancestors of this chicken actually flew a few thousand years ago, but they fly not using muscles in their arms. Their arms are actually very scrawny. But muscles, the breast muscles.
So these are both two sets of flying muscles, aren't
they? That's right. These are the muscles of flight.
Why do we need two sets rather than just a single set?
Very good question. Now, the one on the top, which is the one with the most meat, is the one that brings the wing down, the downstroke.
The downstroke,
that
right.
is the power stroke. Your listeners could do this by stretching out their arms in front of them, straight in front, clapping towards the middle as though there was an imaginary balloon and bursting it.
So that would have to be quite hard to burst a balloon, wouldn't it?
It would. Well, that's what a bird does when it flies.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the thing that's creating that power, the downstroke, we call it, is this great big breast muscle. Now, unfortunately, of course, chickens lost this ability many, many thousands of years ago. But as a result of domestication, we've built up the natural ability of this muscle to grow to such an extent, actually, that in a turkey, it could be nearly as much as half the entire body weight.
So we've selected for that.
We've selected it.
That's not a natural thing, but we wanted that meat, and we've, over generations, selected for bigger flight muscles.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, the result is a lovely tasting bird, but the muscle's completely useless for flying. It's just too big, it's lost all its natural strength, and it's only good for eating. Now, the other one we mentioned, the deeper one, that's used for the upstroke. So that does the opposite movement. When a bird wants to bring its wings back up after the downstroke, it uses that smaller one.
Right.
So these are two pectoral muscles, and they're used in flying. Now, the other thing that we've exposed by separating the meat along the midline, it's very easy to do, several things. First of all, right in the midline, and if you're If your Christmas listeners do this, they'll see a ridge of bone. Actually, in this chicken, it's a ridge of cartilage. It should be bone.
Oh, right.
But nearly all chickens are slaughtered so early in their life.
I see. So it's because it's young.
Exactly.
It hasn't become bone yet.
It's not yet to turn into bone. So it's just gristle. So that's one thing.
And in fact, is that where the muscles attach to? Is that why it's there?
That's where they attach to. And that's why it is so deep. It's actually about 2 centimetres deep because this great big breast muscle is attaching to it. Anyway, that's one of the things we can see in the midline. Now, if we move towards the front, towards the neck of the chicken, we see something else, which everybody will know. That is the wishbone.
Right. And that V-shaped...
That V-shaped bone right at the front. In fact, technically, this is called the little fork or furcula. And it is a fork. It's shaped like a fork. Anyway, that's one of two sets of collarbones that birds have.
Oh, so this is the bird's collarbone?
That's right.
Right.
But that's the little collarbone, and actually it doesn't do much. But deep down, under that second layer of muscle that I mentioned earlier, is a second set of collarbones. These are much stronger, and they're essential for flight.
Is there two collarbones because there's two sets of muscles?
There are two collarbones because the wishbone itself is a bit of an apology. It won't really do the job which any flying bird needs to, which is to stop its shoulders crunching towards its breast when it makes a powerful beat. And the function of that deeper collarbone is to stop that happening.
So would we get an even better wish if we broke the inner collarbone?
You would, but it takes a bit of getting to. And I think by then you'd be so tempted to eat this thing that I think you'll have forgotten all about the functional aspects.
Excellent. Well, we're certainly getting into the grips of this chicken. If we were looking at a turkey, would it be very different? Or are they structurally very similar once you get inside them? Or a goose, say, or a duck?
Even? Yeah, there are differences, mainly on account of size. Now, the turkey is going to be very similar to the chicken, whereas the goose is going to be quite different.
Right.
The turkey and the chicken have white meat. It has a distinctive taste because it's full of something called glycogen.
And that's what makes... So we have white and we have red meat, is that right?
That's right.
Yes, and those are... Why are those different?
They're different. As I say, the white meat has glycogen, and that tends to be used when a muscle beats very quickly but exhausts very quickly as well.
So sort of very, very fast.
Very fast.
Quick. Right.
Powerful movements, but it soon tires because its energy reserves are very limited. Whereas red meat, and actually in a chicken we find the red meat mainly in the legs, because the legs do work. Chickens run. And the red meat has a different set of enzymes, different set of chemicals.
Excellent. Well, the mess we have in front of us might be good for some soup perhaps later. It's definitely given us a fantastic introduction to the chicken. Thank you very much to Dr. John Brackenbury from Cambridge University Vet School for carving up a chicken for us.
This is The Naked Scientist. I'm Ben Valsler. We also have Helen Scales and Dave Ansell with us. And we've heard a few of your questions that we're going to get to in just a sec. But first,